Scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Listen to the Word of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. When Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now may the same God who inspired these words incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Preaching. What an endeavor. What a challenge. What a calling. What a joy. What a pain. And like lots of things that make it painful, among one is very difficult for me. And that is the sense that when I come to Scripture, I come to it listening for a word from God. How presumptuous of me that God should speak to me. What's more, that God should speak to me in such a way that he gives me this message and then wants me, because of my calling, to frame it and phrase it in such a way that you, too, will get that message. And not only that, get it in such a way that it makes you want to come back next week. No pressure there, right? I was meeting with Karen Seamus this week, our resource presbyter. Right, Sam?
Yes.
Resource presbyter. She had her office hours with us this week. I gave her the tour of the church. She's just a delightful woman. And I told her how awesome you were. I said, she asked how long I'd been here. I told her 123 years. But it seems like two. No, I just said, "You guys are great. I love my congregation. They put up with all kinds of stuff from me. It's just wonderful." And I told her how last year during our Sunday seminars, you guys wanted to do the sermon talkback time, when we would hang out and I would deliver the sermon and then you guys would come at me with some questions and insights and things like that. And she stopped in her tracks right out in the hall and she said, "You what? Wow, are you brave?" I knew what she meant, I think, and so do you. You're brave for taking the risk that they wouldn't be having you for Sunday dinner, if you know what I mean. You're brave for taking the risk of being attacked, for being questioned and criticized so profoundly that you would be wounded? I said, Karen, you need to get to know my people. They are awesome. And that time was awesome. The things that we talked about, the things that I heard were amazing. Now, I told her, though, that a few of the sermons that we discussed during that time were bad sermons. They were meant to be good, but they were bad sermons. They could have been good had I had another week or a month to work on them, but they were bad sermons. And I told her that after some sermons like that, poorly illustrated, too long, all up in my head, here you come, with tears in your eyes, gripping my hand and saying, "Thank you. Thank you for that sermon. How did you know it was exactly what I needed to hear? How did you know
You nailed it, Pastor Bob. Hit it out of the park for me. Thank you. We are so blessed to have you.
And we sit down to talk more about it in the well, and you're still glowing, shaking your head in disbelief about the connection that you've made in that sermon. And then you name it, whatever it was, that connection that was so helpful to you. And then you say, I got it, Pastor Bob, I got it. And sometimes when you tell me that, I think, got what? I mean, I've got the manuscript right here, and there's nothing here. Nothing here that matches what you heard. How does that happen? In bad sermons. Even in good sermons, for that matter. I mean, seriously, I have been to the Festival of Homiletics for several years now. I'm going again, God willing, in 2021 when it's back in Denver. I'd like to go every year because, you know what, I'd like to get better. I'd like to preach better. And besides, I like listening to good sermons. And that happens almost to the sermon at the festival. They motivate me to do better. Now, again, why or better, how, despite my apathetic efforts and sometimes my very best efforts that fall so painfully flat, why did you hear something? How did you see something I couldn't see or didn't see? How did you get something that wasn't actually something I was trying to say? To use the language of the Celts, who tore the veil open between us and allowed you somehow to be in that thin place where God and you connect? Because it sure as heck wasn't me. Will Willimon tells the story of a clergy friend of his who, for one of her sabbaticals, decided that rather than writing stuff down and reading books, she wanted to travel across the country and listen to sermons in different churches. And Willimon asked her, after her 30-sermon tour, what she learned. And she said, you know what, Will? I think it's a miracle that anybody hears anything in churches today. And yet, you did. You do. And you tell me so. Why? I mean, sometimes I think it's a miracle. Hold this thought for just a minute. Because first, we have to get this. We have to listen to another sermon preached in the passage before us today. The passage of scripture that we just read together, it was just another day down at the river. John was baptizing, washing people up, getting them ready for the Messiah. It was a ritual, actually, that sometimes good Jews would go through, rotely. It was a rite of purification of sorts that is sometimes associated with preparing for the coming of a Messiah. And indeed, John was preaching about that. Someday, sometime, someplace, Messiah is coming. And people were filled with high hopes. And actually, they had been for years, even centuries. As Jews, a Messiah would come. That was their belief. And yet, while some had their high hopes refueled, others were just going through the motions. Let's get her done. Let's get dunked. Let's get cleaned up. Let's do this thing we've always done in preparation for the Messiah. Let's get ready down by the riverside. And no matter what was going on in folks' heads, John kept on. And he said, Messiah's coming. He didn't say Messiah is here.
No, he said Messiah is coming. And the people interrupted his message and they said, are you the Messiah?
They didn't get it.
And John said, no freaking way am I the Messiah. I couldn't tie the shoelaces of one of his sandals. I couldn't come close to being like the one we're expecting. I baptized with water. The one who's coming, the one who's coming after me is way more powerful than me. He will baptize with wind and fire. John said, you think this water makes you clean? Wait until you feel the fire, the heat of the Messiah. That'll purify the hell out of you. Quite literally. To paraphrase what one scholar says of this little river dance of John, John puts a lot of distance between anticipating the possibility of the presence of God and actually getting God, or maybe better, seeing, sensing, feeling, knowing God. To put that more simply, there's a lot of space between hoping you'll see God and actually getting that God has been there all along. And so John's baptizing. Next! All the while humming, wade in the water, fire's in the sky. And then, step right up, stoop, dip, up, exit. Next! Wade in the water, stoop, dip, up, next. And then, out of the blue, comes this dude from Nazareth. And suddenly, dove, spirit, voice. One voice, this is my son. And somehow, miraculously, the heavens were ripped open, the veil was torn. Dove, spirit, voice. This is the Bible's way of saying that God was there. The spirit, hovering over the muddy Jordan River, was present and real. It sort of smacks of an earlier hovering, does it not, of spirit over the waters of creation, bringing life itself and light. Now, most of you know the Bible well enough to know that Jesus can be, well, a little puzzling, to put it mildly. Jesus tells these obscure, weird, incomprehensible stories. I mean, seriously, who could understand him? Who could get him? But here in this moment, in the first of this new year, the skies split open and there is a voice all the way from heaven. And we hear, you are my son. You are beloved. And in Matthew's gospel, at any rate, more so than the other gospels, it's a voice that is directed not to us, but at Jesus. As one writer puts it, it is a conversation within the heart of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we get this miraculous overhearing of that voice, and it is enough. This is a voice from heaven, this voice. It is not from the earth. It is not like the voices that we hear. It is not like the voices that come to us from our past. It is not like the voices that talk to us about all the damage that our mother and father have done. It is not like the voices that we are carrying around from an adolescence that was a struggle. It is not like the voices that wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and keep me up for the rest of the day and that come at me for the rest of the day, every waking hour. This is not like those voices. There is nothing psychological, mental, sociological, metaphorical, or anthropological about this voice. It is from heaven. Which is to say that it is from God. And it is a miracle.
Now, we don't know how many people overhear this voice directed at Jesus, but I, for one, am glad that somebody heard the voice and told Matthew so he could write it down so we could hear the voice. So that we might be open to such a voice and see such a vision. You know what? We baptize babies, don't we? It's a big deal. You love it. I love it. God loves it. But why babies? They can't think about God. They can't see God. They don't know the Ten Commandments. They don't know the rules of the church. They don't know the Lord's Prayer. Which makes a baby totally and utterly dependent on the grace of God to do for the baby what the baby can't do for the baby's self. I mean, if this baby is going to get back to God, it will take a miracle. And parents who have heard and seen the miracle, the dove, the voice in faith. So like John, we baptize in promise, with a promise and an expectation that God comes, that Jesus' presence is real and will work in this child's life through people of faith, through parents of faith, through the church with a capital C. And we baptize, therefore, anybody, any age, whose parents have that faith. And we baptize into this promise. And everybody here is required to hear this voice and have this faith, or we won't get home. But you know what? Someone here has been attending church for years. Some years attending here, maybe some years another church. And yet, you told somebody that you understood only one sermon in 1,062 sermons. One sermon in 23 years. One sermon in 23 years of sermons. One. Why? I don't mean why don't you understand more, because we all know that there's lots of reasons why we don't understand dozens of sermons, why we don't hear God's word. I mean, why do you keep coming? You keep coming because 4 years ago or 40 years ago, it doesn't matter, during one sermon, certainly by a guest preacher, there was a voice, and there was fire, and the heavens opened, and you heard God speak to you. You heard God's voice, and it was so close that it took your breath away. So you told someone else that that happened to you. That you heard a voice. And you could do that because revelation, recognition, understanding in this faith walk is always a gift. That voice you heard was a gift to you that you wanted to share with someone else. You see what happens here. When the voice speaks to you, God's voice can come alive for someone else. Wow. You, the voice of God. What a gift. Those things you hear, those things you want to hear, talk to somebody about that. Tell someone. Tell someone. See what miracles happen. Let's pray. God, sitting here, many of us, unfocused, unsure, staring off into space, half asleep. I know, God, because I have the best view of everybody here. And just then, when I'm thinking, well, here's another sleeper, here's another bad sermon, just then, Lord, when your people thought you were silent, the heavens were shut up, they open and they hear unexplainably your voice. What a miracle. Thank you, God, for miracles. And so we ask you to please hover over these waters and speak so we may hear and tell of what we hear, so all people, all children of God, will find their home in you. In your name we pray. Amen.